school is out for summer, and for a lot of Americans, that means it's time for summer vacation. That could mean an extended trip to the beach or visiting a historic site or landmark. And people in the tourism industry are hoping millions of us find a way to one of those sites while we're also staying at a hotel and eating out a lot. As much as tourism dominates Arizona's economy, though, the concept of tourism is not a new one. In fact, it's been around since the 19th century in the U.S. And to learn more, I'm joined by Brian Howell, anthropology professor at Wheaton College. Brian, how did the concept of tourism get started?
Tourism really starts out with the kind of educational project of the Grand Tour that elites would go around Europe. And this was kind of the 16th to 18th century, and U.S. elites got in on that too, where the children of the wealthy would be sent to Europe for travel and sort of refinement. But it was really in the mid-18th century that the rest of us kind of got involved in tourism. And of course, a lot of it had to do with technological changes, the growth of the railroad and steamships. But it also had to do with urbanization and the ways that people started to look at the world differently. They started to look at landscapes in more romantic ways rather than in terms of just survival or production. They began to look at their own history in more detached ways, and so they wanted to visit these heritage sites and represent themselves in new ways.
Travel, and by virtue of tourism, going places to see new places, is a lot easier because there are so many travel options at this point, and actually it's so much quicker as well. How much did that sort of change what tourism was, the ability to get places rapidly?
Oh, that was absolutely indispensable. A lot of people put the sort of birth of modern tourism with Thomas Cook and his package tours that he began promoting in around 1840. And he started taking people from Britain over to places where they could get on a train and they could get to the Holy Lands, they could get to Egypt on a steamship. And the change in the ability to travel was everything. And then, of course, it just got faster and faster as jet travel came into play and more forms of transportation made it possible for people to get there even cheaper and faster.
At what point did tourism become an industry that perhaps local governments and others really seem to key into as far as helping it be a money-making venture?
That also happened around the same time. I know that when people began to travel to Cuba and Hawaii from the United States, many of the travel writers began to write about their adventures and to try to market these as a way of getting the federal government to actually get involved in those places in either a military way and a kind of a conquest way, as they did in Hawaii, or in a kind of trade relation way, as they did in Cuba. So there's ways in which tourism and sort of statecraft or foreign policy was really part of the early movement of tourism as well.
How do you think tourism fits into how we are as humans? Our interest in new things, our interest in expanding, the idea that we are embracing learning about other cultures, embracing, again, who we are as individuals.
Yeah, tourism it's an interesting phenomenon because so many people say the only difference between other forms of travel and tourism is the way that we've learned to look at things and the ways that they get sort of framed or presented in a certain way. And I think it absolutely has made questions of what's authentic, you know, what's really important in the modern world. People are really searching for a sense of the authentic. They don't want a, quote, touristy experience. And so they often try to get, you know, off the beaten path. But then, of course, that off the beaten path becomes the beaten path. And so then there's people looking for the off the beaten path. And I think that this is both a reflection of a kind of disaffected person who feels like there isn't anything real anymore. But it's also part of what's driving that sense of, like, gosh, you know, what do we say is real? What do we say is authentic? And so I think it's part of that modern, I don't know if I want to call it crisis, but it's definitely a trouble that we have in our collective soul.
Do you think that physically tourism should be a safe venture, but intellectually maybe not, that it should really sort of stretch our boundaries?
Yeah, I mean, teaching anthropology, I encourage my students to travel. I encourage them to go places that might challenge their preconceptions of the world. But I also know that if they just go with their preconceptions all in place, and they don't interact with people there in ways that will let those preconceptions get challenged, they can come back with all of their kind of prejudices in place or even strengthened. And I think that would be a downside of travel when people come back saying, oh yeah, now I know Mexico because I've been to Puerto Vallarta or something like that. I think getting outside of those very controlled and very manicured, curated environments to really interact with people and ask them questions and see their lives, I think is a really important, or, you know, it's the reason that travel can actually change people and can actually help us kind of get over some of our fear of difference.
Brian Howell is an anthropology professor at Wheaton College, and we've been talking about the origins and effects of tourism. And you are listening to the show.